with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. You know what? It's Father's Day. We're talking all things that you can do with and for Dad. We were going to reach out to Barbecue Bob, who's on a little work break this week, and evidently we didn't pay our duty at the Canadian border because we can't get a phone call over to him. But if he dials in here in a minute, we'll try to work him into the program. But that's no big deal because in the studio I have Steve Siciliano from Siciliano's Market. We've been having a little bit of fun about wine and beer and cigars and all that stuff that Dad would like, and we also have Chef Whitman here, who is an educator, a barbecue chef extraordinaire, as well as one of my drinking buddies. And I see you got the book open, Chef. What are we learning today?
Well, it looks like we're going to talk about brining and rubs, when to use them, what types of products need what type of rubs, and et cetera, and brines. I'm mostly a rub guy. If I'm going to like put a turkey on my grill and cook it long term, I am going to brine it.
Okay.
And you probably always want to stay within a 5 to 7% saline solution, which is about a cup of salt to a gallon of water. Put whatever herbs and whatever you want to put in there for flavoring. It can't hurt. But the brine will actually be able to absorb into the meat, going from a strong salt solution to the bird, which is not. So it's kind of a one-way ticket, but it helps at the end of the cooking process to keep moisture retained. When we eat a lot of salt, we retain moisture. So whatever we're putting on the grill, if it's brined beforehand, we'll do the same, make a better eating product. Now, for smaller things, I'm not a huge advocate of brining. I'm more of a rub guy because you don't have a whole lot of time with half an hour brine or marinade to make any impact on the end flavor. So what's on the surface, if you marinate it with some olive oil, onions, herbs, that's going to remain on the surface. The oil will help brown the steak. But if you start to go with more acid marinades and such, if they sit in there for too long, the acid can actually start to cook the protein on the outside and make it kind of mushy. Like an overnight marinade of a steak, I would never recommend because they just the outside of the meat has just changed significantly. So exterior rub. If I'm doing a fish, I'm going to keep my seasonings mild, maybe onion, garlic, a little bit of salt, always a little bit of sugar. Sugar helps with the caramelizing, bringing some good flavor to it. So mild application of rub ingredients for things like chicken and fish. You get into some bolder cuts of strong flavored game or something, you can up it a little bit, maybe put a little heat to it, but just rub it into the skin. Small cuts, chicken breasts, things like that, 15 minutes to a half an hour with the rub on prior to cooking. Larger cuts, oh, maybe a large porterhouse, 2-pound porterhouse or something, give it an hour or something and let that rub on the surface kind of liquefy a little bit with the moisture from the meat. Then when you put it on the grill, it's going to help form a wonderful, tasty crust.
Yeah, ooh, that sounds good. There was a lot there. Steve, thinking about marinating with wines, are some wines more acidic than others that we should stay away from? I mean, reds versus whites, or what's the rule on that?
Well, whites, for the most part, will be more acidic, but it really depends on what country it comes from as well. Like New Zealand, with the Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand, they're very acidic, very racy, and I love them to drink, but not really sure about what you're looking for in marinades, but if you're looking for something a little bit lower in acidity, probably a red Zinfandel would be good for the red wines, some Chardonnays, Pinot Grigios for the whites.
What do you think about that, Mike?
That makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Bottom line is what you're going to eat is where you want, you know, that's going to be center focus. You'll have some nice aromatic things from a nice wine marinade that will linger on the surface of the meat and, you know, make it taste better. Again, with steaks and small cuts, a half an hour should do it. Again, giving the acid the ability to be present, but not cooking the meat before you put it on the grill.
Right. Okay. Now, I've been told that with the dry rubs, that if you put a lot of salt, I'm a savory guy. I'm not a sweet guy, right? Mm-hmm. I've been told that. You'll hear from Michelle a little later. But anyway, the savory where the salts are forward, I'm a guy that likes quite a little bit of salt, and I use a kosher salt mm-hmm. on my – it's flakier, right?
Yep.
Is there – what's kind of the science or the reasoning why that seems to – all I know is it works better for me when I use a flaky salt rather than a granulated.
It's going to dissolve a little slower than the small crystals in a table salt. And here's another little tip. If you happen to have brined something and then you want to rub on the exterior of it, I would avoid the salt completely in the rub, because otherwise you're going to wind up with a product salted from the inside and salted on the outside, and your blood pressure is going to spike and ruin your day.
Yeah, and you're going to be really thirsty after you
eat
too.
It. Which you could drink more craft beer.
Right.
That wouldn't be bad.
Right. So let's talk about craft beer. Steve, there's for as many names as there are, there's that many styles out there. But for the Father's Day, the person that's coming in that is maybe just diving into craft beer a little bit and is only looking to get just off their Bud Light or just off their Miller Lite, where do they start?
We'd like starting folks with German pills. And there's some wonderful German pills out there, some German Hefeweizens, domestic breweries in America are making some wonderful pills as well. So that would be where I would start. That's where I would direct folks to go if they're just making the transition into craft beer. Some good pilsners, American wheats or Hefeweizens, and then from there maybe some amber ales.
Right. So that's it's not going to just overpower your palate with that hops. It's going to be a lighter tasting beer and help you with that transition.
Exactly. We don't want to start somebody with a very, very hoppy double IPA because they would probably do the bitter beer face.
Right. So, Mike, the pairing of the foods, the marinades, and the things that we're actually impregnating the meat, if you will, with a seasoning when we go into the brines. The rubs is more on the surface. Is that right?
Yes.
So when we go with the brines in there, is there a rule of thumb of not too much of this or enough of that? I know you said a little bit of sugar and it's like an 8-to-1 salt to water. Right. What else are we looking for there? Just a rule of thumb.
Just some nice, good aromatic herbs. Thyme, parsley, little bit of garlic, things that oregano, basil in the summertime, certainly, especially for chicken and fish. And you want to mash the herbs up a little bit, bruise them a little bit before you put them in the marinade. They'll give off more flavor and benefit the finished product that way.
So I got one more way that people always ask about is the injection of this solution inside the meat.
Absolutely.
Versus soaking it in it. What's the difference there? Is there anything I need to be careful of?
Well, I don't know about careful, but if you want the flavor to get inside the meat, you're going to need to inject it. Because a marinade or a brine over 24 hours may get in not even an inch. You know, a shorter term would be an eighth of an inch. So if you want the flavor inside, get yourself a needle, put whatever flavors you want in there, put it in between the muscles, in the muscles, on the fat cap, if there is such a thing, and basically all the big joints, if it's a bird, get the marinade there, and then it's inside, it's going to cook, and it's going to perfume the rest of the product. And that's where you're going to get some good benefit from internal seasoning.
So, you know, I've got this syringe. It's about the size of a 50-cent piece, and it's 6 inches long, and I fill that thing with the juice, whatever I have that I want to put in there. How much of it do I put in each spot? I mean, I've seen it where you can stick that in there on a turkey.
You can puff it up.
The leg quarter will puff up about double in size, and that seems like too much.
That's a little excessive, yeah. You know, if you've got 4 ounces in there, put 2 ounces at every spot you stop, max.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, apparently Barbecue Bob has reached out from Canada there, eh? And we're going to pick him up here in the next segment. But you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I see the light, I don't mean the neon kind. One kiss from you tonight and send me on to the other side.
Sipping on this 7-7, never been.